So we're interested. Sorry, this is work with Rong Wu, who is a PhD student of mine, and actually, she would give a far better presentation on this than I think I'm going to. What we're interested here, and I'm going to talk about this on a very high level. I'm actually going to try to pose a couple questions here that we're having trouble answering, and just give you an idea of some of the issues we're looking at here. So, if you're interested in more theoretical detail, given that this is supposed to be a theory session, I do have work available that that I could get to you afterwards, and of course I'm happy to discuss it. So we're interested in this problem that we have an arrival stream which we're going to consider to be Poisson. We have several servers in parallel. We have to make a decision about which one we assign these things to. And in particular, we're interested in the case where the processing times are highly variable. We're interested in computer applications where, for example, it's fairly well known that things like file transfers are have highly variable processing times. Okay. First, though, what I'm going to talk about is the sort of what we thought was a trivial case of let's just have one server, okay, and see what happens. Because when we talk about scheduling these things, we really what we're into, there's two components here. The first component is which server to send an arriving customer to, and the second one is what kind of service policy should the actual servers themselves use. So let's look at that second question first, and of course, if we know the service times on arrival, that's one of the cases we're interested in. We know that shortest remaining processing time is optimal. The thing I'm trying to optimize here, I'm going to call it expected value of t. This is the expected response time for a customer entering the system, so the time from entry to exit. So known service times, fine. These are things that everybody knows. If we have unknown service times, of course, if we chose first come, first serve, we would Polachek-Kinchin formula. So clearly, this term here, and you know, this is in a first queuing course, hopefully this concept is discussed, is that if we have high variability in the processing times, we're going to get very poor performance. However, if we switch to last come first serve or processor sharing, the expected number in the system doesn't depend on the variance of the service times, for example. So this is, of course, use Little's law for mean response times. Now, the question here is what actually is the optimal policy for an MG1 queue, and surprisingly, and I hope somebody will correct me if I'm wrong, because I'd be embarrassed but happy if this wasn't the case. All we know are some recent results that say the question isn't answered in general, and there's two results from a couple people in Colombia. The first one is if the processing times have decreasing hazard rate, then a policy called least attained service is optimal. So what you do is you serve the customer that has so far got the least service. So last come first serve is close to that, but not quite. And if you have a number of jobs that have all had the same attained service, you do processor sharing amongst those jobs. So that policy actually minimizes the expected response time in the system. If we have an increasing hazard rate, then first come, first serve is optimal. So the question is there a general result here? Because if I have a service time distribution that doesn't satisfy either of those two properties, take two fairly trivial examples, or for example, a two-point distribution, one that's just on 2 points, that doesn't satisfy either of these. One that's used in practice here is a bounded Pareto distribution. Because of its bounded nature, it doesn't satisfy these. It's for the most part, on most of its support, it has a decreasing hazard rate, but not all of it. But if I look carefully at what these are actually just serving the customer that has the shortest expected remaining processing time. So it's somewhat greedy in that sense. As far as I can tell, and as I said, somebody correct me, I've seen all sorts of notes on operating systems courses in computer science, and they introduce scheduling and say that this is a good thing to do, but as far as I know, it's a folk theorem that it's optimal, but I could be wrong. Yeah. Yeah, but I think it's in one of these cases here. Yeah, but they have an optimality for slowdown rather than this expected response time. Unless they have something new that I haven't. I think that's for slowdown. Which slowdown is just there's an optimality result for slowdown, which is the expected response time. I'll write it here. If T of X is the response time of a customer that requires that has a service time of X, then the slowdown is this normalized response time. So for a lot of computer systems, this has been proposed as a performance interest of measure rather than the expected response time, because the idea is if you have a long response time, it might be reasonable to tolerate a longer delay than ones with short processing times. Here's what we've tried to do, and at least Rong has tried to do. I haven't spent a lot of time on it, but she's at the point of giving up, which is fine. Two approaches were just to try it directly. It's fine because we're really interested in this parallel service case. Although it'd be nice to say something about this. If we let TI be the departure time of the ith customer, then a first step is trivial. The expected departure time of the first customer is minimized by the shortest expected remaining processing time policy. But it's difficult to do the induction step, that if we minimize expected value of Tn and apply shortest expected remaining processing time, then we get this. The problem is, for us, there's just too much bookkeeping of the various. The problem is this policy is very, very simple to state, shortest expected remaining processing time, but practically what it means for scheduling jobs can be quite difficult. So we do have a partial result. We believe, I need to double check it, but we believe that for a two-point distribution, we can show that this is optimal. The bookkeeping isn't that bad, but for an arbitrary processing time distribution, we just don't see how to do it. Now, those two results that I mentioned before, those were a couple people from Columbia. They actually solved this problem. So, and sorry, this is a bit hard to see. This is this expected the expected response time. So what we have is the expected response time of a size of job X weighted by the processing time distribution. And there's a result of Kleinrock that says for any MG1 system, there's a certain conservation law that the response times satisfy. So everything in this one's known except for the response time of a job of size T. And essentially that's what your policy determines. But the conservation law says you can only do so much. If you push down the response times of customers of a certain size, then you have to push up ones of others, which makes sense, but it's quantified here. They're able to actually solve this optimization problem in those two cases with the decreasing hazard rate and the increasing hazard rate. We've played around a little bit with trying to do this in general, but are finding it quite difficult. But of course, the other question is is there a counterexample to this sort of greedy shortest expected remaining processing time? We haven't seen anything where we found a distribution where that policy doesn't minimize the expected response time. Okay, so you know, if anybody has any insight onto doing that, I'd be delighted to hear about it. So what we're more generally interested in is the case that an arrival has to be immediately routed to a server. And we're interested in this interaction between routing and scheduling policies, because in general we're interested in the question that if you know what the scheduling policy is at the servers, will the choice of the optimal routing policy be sensitive to what the scheduling policy at each of these is? You know, so for example, known results are that for first come, first serve at these, something like join the shortest queue would be the thing to do. So, a talk last year, we've since published a paper on this, that under high variability, the thing that has the most impact on the performance of the system is the scheduling policies at the servers and not the routing policy to the servers. So for example, under known service times, we've shown that, we haven't shown it's optimal, we've shown it performs fairly well, is just to naively do round robin routing. And if we do shortest remaining processing time, I'm not going to go into this policy, is better than a policy that really does sophisticated routing, but first come, first serve service. This is nice because when we talk about implementation, something like round robin type policies don't require any state information, and we can, in essence, make this system completely decentralized in its scheduling. The servers do their own scheduling, but there's no global system scheduling. So we had that result. We're looking at now, if we think that this is a reasonable thing to do, can we do better than just pure round robin? So this is a little bit cryptic here, but if we remove the constraint that we have to do routing immediately upon arrival, so now we have a common buffer, then there's this proof of optimality for a single server with shortest remaining processing time. If I have K servers in a single buffer, it's very, very easy to adapt that proof to say that the optimal policy is to serve the K jobs that have the shortest remaining processing time. This is not difficult to do. So instead of round robin, can we find a dispatch scheme that approximates this? And we have one result, and I'm not going to put a theorem down here, but we have one result that says if we have large and small arrivals, then what we can do is instead of doing round robin over all jobs, we set up two round robins. One round robin over the small jobs, one round robin over the large jobs. What that does is it spreads out the small jobs over the processors, exactly like the optimal policy would if there was just one buffer, and also spreads the large jobs out over the servers. And we can actually show that for this case, this is optimal. So for example, we've shown now through simulation that things work pretty well. For example, if we just separate jobs that are, say the largest 10% of jobs and the smallest 90% of jobs, we separate those and do round robin over those two, it tends to work pretty well. We're just looking now at, you know, you could choose more and more of these layers of round robin to try and spread out jobs of similar similar size. So it appears to work well. The implementation's easy. The only problem with the implementation over round robin is that to choose these thresholds, you need to have some idea what the service time distribution is. You know, if I'm trying to do this 10-90% split, whereas if I just use pure round robin, I don't need to know what the service time distribution is in order to do the routing. Okay? But the more general question, as I said, is can one actually characterize what the optimal routing policy is for these various service policies? And for example, if we were to use processor sharing, what's the optimal routing policy? And we think we have ideas about these. Last come, first serve. For unknown service times, so far we're really preliminary on this. We suggest that we use the routing policy that seems to be the right one to use, but we haven't proved this yet, is that if we use the optimal policy for a single server, so for example, if we use shortest expected remaining processing time, then the right routing thing to do is almost a version of join the shortest queue, but it's, that should be JSEW, which means join the shortest expected workload. So it it just looks at the expected time to empty the jobs at that particular server and sends a new job to whichever one has the smallest. Now, that could be extremely complicated, especially if the optimal policy is the shortest expected remaining processing time. You could have done partial service on many of the jobs in the queue, so calculating this could be difficult. So we're at the stage now where theoretically we're trying to show that this is the right thing to do, or near optimal, but then the question is, what would one do in general? And that's it.